If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Your online presence is so crucial to how quickly you can attract those prospects, how quickly you can build those relationships, and how quickly you can convert them to a deal, no matter whether you're selling or buying or whatever.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Lindsay Phillips is the CEO and captain of Smooth Sailing Business Growth. She is your content marketing strategic partner, a serial entrepreneur, and also proud owner of Smooth Business Podcasting and Real Estate Investors Marketing. Her business has grown 60% each year consistently. She loves helping entrepreneurs build their authority and increase visibility through the power of podcasting with her full service podcasting and content marketing services. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sam.
The pleasure is all mine. You know, this is a hot topic, I guess, across, you know, practically every industry. As you're putting content out there, you know, they say content is king. You know, we've heard these phrases and things like that. But before we really get into the meat of that, I'd love to hear from your perspective, kind of where did you start? Where are you now? How'd you get there? But through the lens of content marketing and your business.
Yeah, I mean, I actually used to, my firm was more of like a VA firm, and just kind of got into the online world. I was working two other part-time jobs, and I just wanted to carve my own lifestyle, make more money, obviously. And then I just kind of, as I did more VA stuff, discovered content marketing. It was working really well for my clients. And I just loved the creativity of it and just learning how to like attract clients, how to build relationships, how to convert clients, using all of that. And as I niched down, my business actually grew. So I said, no more VA clients for me. And once I niched down, I just found I got a flood of clients. So a great tip for any real estate investors that are marketing and growing their business, that don't be afraid to niche down to, like, I don't know, only wholesaling or only multi-property or multifamily. You think you're turning business away, but in actuality, you're enabling yourself to market yourself as an expert in a specific field. And it's so much easier to dial in your messaging and attract the clients that you want. So yeah, if you feel like you're doing everything and you're kind of like feeling scattered, niching down is totally key. And so, yeah, I just kept kind of carving the craft, so to speak, and of course, got into the wonderful world of podcasting, which I love being on the creative end, because we, of course, launch and produce podcasts for clients, but also on a producer's end. You know, I've had a couple of different podcasts. I'm actually launching a new one in the next month, which I'm super excited about. And yeah, just the connections with people and just the ability of creating content easily and being able to be accessible to so many more people and just sharing your message.
Right, right. And I think that's one of the common things that people run into is, what is my message?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you overcome? I'm going to ask that question, but then I'm going to really probably turn the tables on you and ask you to tell me the other common things people run into, because I'm sure you know more than me. But how do you help people figure out what their message is? Because even if, you know, even if we have in-depth industry knowledge and we, you know, understand our craft really well, how do you tell that story?
I know. And it's funny, there's a couple of things. One is that people are actually afraid to tell their story, like their journey and how they learned how to be an investor, or how they're coaching other people to now be an investor and do whatever. And they're afraid to even share what their superpowers are. You know, I'm great at this, and it's okay that I'm not so great at this. Like, I almost feel like people, they're like, oh, I got there in two steps. You know what I mean? And I'm like the expert. And obviously you're an expert, but I think your journey and your mistakes is A, what makes you human and what makes people connect with you. It makes them feel like you like walk the walk and talk the talk, so to speak, and that you're relatable. Like someone's like, oh yeah, that's me, like who I was 10 years ago or whatever, like I can relate and they can help me. And so that is really a crucial part. I actually, and I tell the story all the time, but I just love it so much. I was helping an investor and he was doing, you know, wanted a website and he was in multifamily. And I found out that he's actually a pilot and he does that on the side and he didn't want people to know that he was a pilot. And so we were kind of having a strategy session and I'm talking like, you know, what kind of people do you want to work with? He's like, well, I would like to help other pilots because they've got all this money. They bubble this, that reason. And I'm like, then absolutely you have to lean into your story and who you are. Do you know what I mean? Because that being your authentic self and telling your story is what is going to attract prospects. So we actually did like a 180 and his whole website and all of his marketing was branded and all of his messaging was targeted towards that specific avatar. And it's like, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And I love it. And it's just such a great story that really emphasizes that you have to lean into what you're good at, what your story is and who you're, and I know everyone throws the word authentic, but like who your normal, genuine self is, right? Don't try to be someone that you're not.
Sure. Yeah, that's absolutely it. What are some other things that people are struggling with that you kind of help them overcome? Authentic is one thing. What else is out there?
I think people really struggle and kind of hit a wall about knowing like where to go and what to do. I mean, everything's changing on a day-to-day basis. Like now there's like TikTok and like even an Instagram, right? There's like reels and highlights and stories and Instagram TV. And it's like, yeah. Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't even tell you what I've seen it. I've heard of it. What, Instagram. Oh, what's a story versus a picture versus I don't know.
There's like, so much. Yeah. It's mind boggling. And then of course, videos and YouTube and should I be in LinkedIn? Should I be in Facebook? Do I have to be everywhere? Oh my God. Who has the time?
Right.
And it's like, you're freaking out. So then you do nothing. And it's easily done, right? So I always kind of break it down on like, okay, you really have to think about who your ideal prospect is, whether it's and you might have a buyer and a seller. And so have two different avatars and that's okay. Depending on, you know, what you're doing. If you're just doing notes, it might be something else. So you really have to like write it out. Like who is your perfect prospect? One that doesn't give you stress, one that gives you the highest ROI and they're not a, you know, pain in the butt. They're like your ideal. I want more of these. And then you have to think about like, where are they hanging out, right? Like I had a client once and they're like, oh, we got to be on Snapchat. Everyone's on Snapchat. And I'm like, your audience doesn't even know what that is. Like, so why waste your time and effort? I know everyone else is doing it and it may be good for them, but it's not good for you. So you really have to don't grab that shiny object and run with it. You really have to think about where your peeps are hanging out. And do they, like, they're 60 and you're targeting retirees. They're not listening to podcasts. 60-year-olds or retirees aren't necessarily listening to podcasts. So don't launch a podcast. So you really have to think about where they are, how they absorb information, and what their lifestyles are like. Do they read books? Do they have time to do that? If they're like, they're busy and they're in and out, then quick 2-3 minute videos on social would be super good and also helps you attract and build that relationship because you're seeing them face to face, so to speak. So you really have to map that out to kind of to know where you need to spend your time. And don't feel that you have to do everything. Like do one and two, you know, things and do them well and get them going and attract and engage and, you know, comment back and all that good stuff. And then as you get that traction going and you're in a rhythm, then you can build onto it. So don't feel that you have to be everywhere and do everything all of the time.
Yeah, it's the idea of when like throwing everything in a pile, it all seems disorganized because you go, oh my gosh, it's like looking at the laundry. You're like, my word, there's a giant pile of laundry. Like, where are my socks? And it's the same idea with social media. It's like, ah, crud, there's all this stuff piled up together and I need to tackle all of it at once. Like, no, actually, you just need to take one item out at a time and fold it.
I love that analogy. I've never heard that before, but that's so true.
Yeah. It's like, well, then the next one, well, what do I got? Oh, there's a pair of jeans. Okay. I probably should hang those up. Like this becomes easier when you take it in much smaller bites. So I like the idea of, but what about here? We'll use me for an example, right? So we got this podcast and it's great, but we're creating so much content. I mean, there's stuff that you've said that's the, and everything's getting shorter and shorter and shorter, which means that there's more and more and more volume of things to be edited, parsed, and put on different channels. How do you tackle that?
That is my favorite topic. You may not have known that.
I didn't.
It's all about leveraging your podcast. And actually, that's the new podcast that I'll be releasing, which is Leverage Your Podcast, so that you can leverage one piece of content, whether it's a video, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a blog, so that you're not having to do everything, because there are so many golden nuggets within one foundational piece of content. Right. So you can have this video, obviously, on YouTube. You can resize it so it's on your Instagram IGTV. You can create, I call them snackable bites, and you can take out little nuggets from the podcast. So obviously, you're going to share the episode and entice people to click and listen and so forth. But you can also create quote graphics of things that you've said that I've said, which also elevates your authority as the expert. They're quick, they're short, they grab attention, and they're shareable.
Is it like an audiogram or?
Absolutely. They're great too. They are time consuming, not going to lie, but they are really good. And because they've got that movement and the autoplay too, that's in Facebook, you're going to get higher reach and you're going to get more views, which helps with the Facebook stupid algorithms and all that good stuff. But yeah, they're great too. And even thinking about like the concepts or maybe some of the issues that you're speaking of, to create engagement posts, right? Like we can talk about how people, investors may struggle knowing where to start and what to do. So that's an issue. So you can actually create an engagement post saying, hey, Lindsay and I chatted about this. You know, a lot of people really struggle with blah, blah, blah. You know, what are you struggling with? So you're turning the table to create a conversation. And those posts are the ones that get the most action, really, because people want to share their opinion and what's going on with them. But it's often a step that is forgotten when spinning the content that you have from a foundational piece. And so because you can just take out so many little tiny pieces, you can transcribe it and create a blog post, like reconfigure it kind of a thing. You can, let's say from this episode, Sam, we've covered three or four different like micro topics. You could go on Facebook tomorrow and do, you know, a 2-minute live Facebook on one of these topics. So you're taking the topic and like doing something different to attract a different part of your audience. So there's different ways you can kind of like recycle, reuse, and leverage the content.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's absolutely valid. But for me, and for a lot of real estate investors, there's two things that matter: finding deals and finding money.
Yeah.
And so when you say to me, Sam, you can come out and repurpose this content, I say to you, Lindsay, not a chance. It's just not going to happen. Like, I'm sure you run into that, mm-hmm. right? So I guess there's two things. Well, I got two questions for then. As I say that, how do you overcome that? And then secondly, why is all of this content even relevant?
Fair enough. And I'll answer the second one first. One is that there is such fierce competition out there, right? So you need to set yourself apart from like the sea of investors, if you will.
Sure.
And so how to do that is building your authority. And if you're doing a podcast, if you're posting consistent content, if you're positioning yourself as the expert sharing tips, information, you're serving the audience, people are going to be attracted to that. And it's automatically going to create that element of trust and build that relationship faster. Same with like even like listening to someone on a podcast or seeing them in a video. You just like psychologically, you connect with that person so much faster. And as you know, Sam, like with investing, it's all about relationships and trust, right? And that is such a key part. So that's why I feel like there's authority so that people are like, boom, credibility. Yep, you know what you're talking about. I don't need to like interview you.
Right.
And then that level of, I already feel that level of trust that I'm connected, that I know you're not going to like screw me over, or like we're going to be able to work together, our personalities jive and so forth.
Sure.
And really, like if you don't have consistent content out there, people always go to your website. And if it's like old and like it's stagnant, then people are going to be like, are they really, really successful. And if they go to your Facebook page and it's like you've posted like once, maybe 3 weeks ago, they're kind of like, A, do you really want to help me like do better and improve my life and wealth and, you know, whatever it is? And are you like going to be around if something goes wrong? It's just that whole psychological perception, and it's all relevant and it's all important. And yeah, you're going to do your hustle, and yeah, you're going to like talk to people and meet at meetups and, you know, contact sellers or try to create some joint venture partnerships. And you are going to do that, but your online presence is so crucial to how quickly you can attract those prospects, how quickly you can build those relationships, and how quickly you can convert them to a deal, no matter whether you're selling or buying or whatever.
Right, right. No, I think that's key. That's absolutely key. Those are all excellent points.
And now, of course, I forget what your first question was.
The first question was, I don't know. Let's see. We talked about
why it's relevant.
Oh,
I know what it was.
Let's hear it. Okay.
My memory worked. Woohoo. It was, you know, there's, as investors, you're like doing the hustle, you're doing your thing, and your expertise is not necessarily content marketing. And so to leverage that piece of content and create the social media post, send an email out to your list and blah, 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 you're like, oh my God, I don't have time for this. So that is where there's two things that come into play. One is creating a system and a routine. So I always use project management tools. So as soon as this happens, you got to do A, B, C, D, E, right? And so if you record a bunch of podcasts, videos, blogs, whatever you do on the first week of a given month, then you have to mark it in your calendar. Like, okay, Monday of the next week, I'm spending 2 hours to create and do this. And then a week later, I'm going to pre-schedule it. And then I'm done for the month.
Right.
So if you don't set that schedule, that routine, it's not going to get done. And of course, the other piece is contract it out. It's like, think about what your hourly time is worth. And if you're not out there hustling and doing your deals, then yeah, you're not going to make money. So it just makes financial sense to outsource those back end pieces so that you just have to proof and a team or a VA, or obviously we do that for our clients. They've got it all dialed in and they just do it. And then it goes out and you don't have to worry about it.
Right. Yeah. And that's it. And that's it, is finding the key team members that can do each of those things, you know, systems and routine. I mean, and that's true with any part of our business.
Absolutely.
I mean, we talk about that all the time on this show. Like, what systems, what routines, what procedures have you set in place? Because I mean, without those, no matter what, whether it's prospecting, whether it's calling, talking to your investor base, whether it's, you know, marketing, whatever it is, like if it's not consistent then and scheduled out, it's just not going to happen.
And same with when, like, I don't know all the moving pieces, obviously, but like, same with when you're doing a deal and you're dealing with like the finances and doing your due diligence and like the legalities of it. Like, you don't put the cart before the horse. You don't do it different each time. You've got like a system of things that you have to go by and do. And obviously, there's certain timeframes involved. So that may come naturally to you to like, oh, I just know what I need to do. And I bing, 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 bing. And then the deal's done. And, you know, I do this afterwards to close it out or whatever. But same with any other element of your life and, you know, closing out your books every month or whatever it may be. You just have to like reframe your brain and kind of create that routine and the system. And again, if you don't put it in a project management tool, if you don't put it on your calendar, you know, it just won't get done.
Right.
And I know it. And I've been there and I've done it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lindsay, let's jump here into the final four. The first question is this: what is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
I would just say, if you're overwhelmed with content marketing and online marketing, just start in one place. If you take one action or you have a goal, you know, by the end of the month, I want to have, you know, 2 blogs a month, or I want to do 3 videos because it's quick and easy for me. So just like, you have to take at least one action, you know, each week, each month, whatever, and then it'll just become a habit.
Got it. Love that. Number two is this: when it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
Ooh, that's very good. I have a couple of coach clients, so I love talking to other coaches to kind of get their perspective. And I'm also in Facebook groups, especially within the podcasting world, to get their input, find out what new tools they're using, ask them questions. You know, I don't profess to be the expert on absolutely everything by any stretch. And so don't be afraid to reach out in those groups to get that support, feedback, and help.
Right, right. No, that's great. Number three is this: when it comes to investing in the world, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
Dang it. That's a good question. Honestly, I love helping entrepreneurs. So to do videos, share content, be on a podcast show, if it helps someone else in the beginning stage of their business, because I remember what it was like.
Right.
And again, like people can DM me and say, hey, can you give me feedback on this? Absolutely. I will take time for you. If you have a question, I don't know what to do about this. I will shoot a little Loom video and help you. I don't like seeing people struggle and I want people to succeed. So I hope in some way that helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lindsay, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
They can go to smoothbusinessgrowth.com. And if they go to the resource page, there is a ton of free stuff because I love to give things away.
That is awesome. Lindsay, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.